Roseburg would like to welcome The Landing. It's a senior living community offering assisted living as well as memory care for its residents. If you're looking for the perfect place to retire as you reach your golden years or taking care of loved ones, contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696.
Midas of Roseburg Studio weather forecast. Partly sunny today, a high near 72 degrees, contrary to what you may be seeing outside at the moment. But tonight, a chance of rain, cloudy, and 52 degrees for a low. Tomorrow, rain in the forecast with a high near 63. Sunday, 50% chance of showers and 62. It's currently 58 degrees. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and we've made it to Friday. We made it to a new month. The rain is here in spite of the forecast. And State Senator Floyd Prezanski on this afternoon. Another one of our check-ins with lawmakers. Floyd, thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle, thank you very much. So it sounds like you're getting some rain in Roseburg?
Yes, we are.
Where it's coming our way, too, even though that forecast was saying it wasn't until late tonight or tomorrow morning, it looks like it's going to surprise us.
Yeah, well, we don't have a control of the weather. We don't seem to have a control of a lot of things right now. To begin, I want to ask you about your response to the governor's press conference a couple of hours ago regarding COVID-19 testing, contact tracing, and her thoughts about plans to reopen Oregon.
So I did not get a chance to actually see the broadcast. I was tied up on something else. But my understanding is what she was going to be coming forward was what was needed to actually move forward in reopening the state in different areas geographically, and what are the needs for that to occur, including, as you're saying, being able to have the tracking and tracing, the testing, of course, and then having the insurance that the safeguards that will need to stay in place, such as social distancing, as well as use of masks, would be also a necessity.
One of the things from the press conference, I watched part of it, was talking about the potential for some areas, and should kind of seem to indicate more rural areas or areas where the number of cases were lower, et cetera, if testing was ready to reopen as soon as May 15th. Of course, some folks have been wanting it sooner. And, of course, commissioners in five of the counties, including Douglas, have been asking that the counties be reopened now. What do you think about the idea of some areas waiting 2 weeks and other areas waiting longer?
Well, I think that's the approach that you're going to have to take. As we've heard through on the national level, as well as our medical advisors in the state, the virus is going to really control the openings as to what it's doing is how we can respond. It is going to be quite interesting, and I'll use this term somewhat on a loose-end petri dish type of approach that's happening in Georgia and my birth state of Texas, to see exactly how this actually is going to play out. Those two states, of course, have very high numbers relatively compared to many other states, and that they're pushing to open up much broader than I think will be wise based on what the medical experts have told us. So I think the governor's correct, and you look at what we've been able to accomplish as a state, and that's because of Oregonians really following the lead and the need to actually try to bend the curve on the virus, and we've done that successfully. Looking just at the numbers that we have, even Lane County, when you look at the numbers for a populated county, we're very low compared to other parts of the state and some of the, call them more rural counties, such as Linn County, where they've had, you know, some of these hot spots, and Portland being one as well.
We just got word a bit ago, Douglas County has one more case that we'd gone, I think, 14 days, somewhere around that, without having one new case, though that one is already considered recovered. And so our numbers remain very low at 24 now positives in Douglas County, well over 1,000 people tested. One of the things the governor talked about was the need for more testing. Now, Douglas County, one of the places that started off with the drive-through testing clinics, there's another one going on, I think even at this hour, and it's something that this area has been doing for quite a while.
And my hat goes off to Douglas County and for the officials putting that all together, because that is exactly what we need to be focusing, I think, our attention on, is how can we actually do these tests, make sure we have all of the safeguards in place, because when you start doing the test, and I think what everyone's alluding to of what we want to do is basically shift the dynamics instead of having everyone hunker down, having those who have been identified as actually having been infected by the virus or potential carriers based on contact, that those individuals are isolated or quarantined as compared to the general population. So in accomplishing that, I think we're going to also have to rely on, and we should be relying on, the county health authorities, public health, to be able to do the tracking and tracing of contacts of individuals that do turn positive on these test results.
And, of course, in Douglas County, the Douglas Public Health Network, that contracts for services with Douglas County, added 5 folks to its staff weeks ago to do that contact tracing. And the testing clinics, which were kind of debuted about 3 years ago as a flu drive-through clinic to see how the infrastructure worked, but really the idea was for something, what it turned out to be this, where there was a great need for them, the infrastructure would be there. So moving forward like that, a lot of people in Douglas County with the low numbers wonder about having to wait 2 more weeks to reopen.
Yep. And I think that's a fair question, but at the same time, what we have as an example is what happened with the 1918 Spanish flu. They had a first wave, and the impact was not that significant. The second wave of the infection was much more deadly, literally. And so one of the things we want to make certain is as we move forward, we want to make certain we're safe and moving forward and ensuring that we're not going to have another large-scale outbreak without being able to do what needs to be done, as we just said. If you have a positive, isolate that individual out, get the contact tracing going, figure out who has been in contact with them, and that way you can mitigate out and not have another resurgence. That's the biggest concern. I've just put out this morning, we put out my weekly update on the COVID-19, and I'm bringing it up because we have an article in there that got permission from history.com, was a reprint of an article they did back last fall, and they had in February 4th of this year. And it really is pretty sobering when you look at what the impact was during the 1918 Spanish flu, where a lot of people thought, oh, let's just reopen. Oh, let's take care of it. Don't worry about that. There's not a problem here. When it came back, it was a surgence of such a great significant force. That's where thousands upon thousands of deaths occurred. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to have a false start. So I think it's wiser for us to move into this as quickly as we can, but wisely, and making certain that we have everything in place that we need to ensure that we can actually have the transition of staying out of another surge causing more closures.
And, of course, looking at what's going on today, comparing other states that have more cases that are slowly starting to open up, where Oregon is on the very much so on the lower end of the number of cases, and that makes folks wonder about waiting to at least partially reopen as well.
Well, I think that's the history lesson. I mean, we're doing very good of what we said we needed to do and what we wanted to do. We've accomplished that. The question is, do we just say, okay, it's taken care of, when we do not have in place the testing at the level that we need? We don't have the trace tracking that's necessary. That's why I said this kind of loose analysis of a peachy dish. We're going to see how this is going to play out in other parts of the country as some of these states and portions of states reopen, where they have, I think, a lot more volatility than we do. But at the same time, the last thing I've heard from small businesses, what they don't want to have happen, especially in a restaurant setting, is gear back up, start up, and then have to shut back down. And so I think, again, it's wise for us, if it takes another 2 weeks before we can start opening up a more normal course, whatever that means in the future, I think it's a wise decision for us to do at this point so we don't actually set us back and have numbers soared on us.
I just checked before we went on, and I've not gotten the kind of official layout of documents from the governor's office following this morning's press conference, but what has been hinted at in some media outlets who apparently got access to some of the plans yesterday was, when you mentioned restaurants, was that social distancing aspect, the literal lower occupancy, using less tables, kind of rethinking about how you route people through areas and things like that. And apparently, under the governor's plan, according to what I am seeing on other outlet sites, the potential there that in this first phase for areas that can reopen in a couple of weeks, that could include restaurants and possibly even brew pubs, as long as they had that social distancing and the restriction on how many people were in the facility at once.
That's true, and this is quite interesting. I'm on, as you can imagine, on a lot of different Zoom and GoTo calls with the COVID. I'm on one on a weekly basis with the mayor of Eugene, and yesterday some of the business owners, including breweries, were talking about how can we look outside of the box that we have as a norm, and how can we have the local community, in this case the city government, work with them to have alternatives, because right now there's certain regulations and prohibitions of where you can serve alcohol, like in a parking lot of a restaurant. Maybe we allow for that to open up, having more social distancing set up for tables, allowing for people to be served in the parking lot as compared to having everyone confined in an enclosed building. So, you know, that was one thing. Another thing that really kind of back to the past, think back to A&W as well as Sonic Drive-Ins. And that came up yesterday thinking, well, why not use the restaurant parking lots? Similar, you could actually go in to the parking lot. You could park and have socially distanced vehicles. Someone could come out, take your order, or you could have already called it in. They bring it out and actually maybe put a tray out on your window like in the old days. And you could eat there in the parking lot and then move on from there. I mean, so it's one of these unique situations for us to think about how can we do what we want to do and make certain it's safe for all.
And, of course, here in Roseburg, Pete's Drive-In, one of the old-time establishments that's been around forever, is set up exactly as you said, and there's a Sonic here as well. And as I pass by both of those just about every day in my travels, I know that they have been doing very well. And the idea that you brought up there of alcohol consumption in parking lots of restaurants, et cetera, is an interesting one as well, because, of course, that would be some infrastructure changes for OLCC regulations and for city or county regulations at various places. But I know there's a number of places here in Roseburg that would be set up to do that fairly easily, and that could add to what they could do as long as you've got everything sort of set up and very clear so that the business owner and the customer knows what's expected.
Exactly. I mean, already you have in most cities today where you can actually have tables outside your establishment near or on the sidewalk of your business where you can serve your meal with alcohol included. So this would be just kind of an expansion, and you're right. There may need to be some temporary emergency rules through OLCC and at the local level for the regulatory authority there. But the bottom line is, if we continue to do what we're doing, which is thinking outside of the box, how can we get back to what we are going to find as the new norm? How do we make certain small local businesses aren't closing? It's how do you get revenue in? And these are, I think, great ideas and suggestions that are coming up. And we've started reaching out to OLCC to see what it would take to do these type of modifications.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with State Senator Floyd Prezansky in 1 minute. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. State Representative Gary Leaf will be on Monday's Inside Douglas County program. State Senator Floyd Prezansky with us now, talking about the COVID-19 situation, the state response, and the business community discussion. One of the things that I'm already hearing from local officials, and certainly some hints from some of the business owners and signs that I've seen, Some people say that if they can't reopen now or very soon, it's to the point for some where they may close permanently and never reopen, and that's very concerning.
It is very concerning, and those are the situations that we want to try to move as quickly as we can, but at the same time rationally do this. As I mentioned in the first segment, there are individual owners of restaurants that have had contact with me, and they said that they do want to open. They want to open as quick as they can, but at the same time, they don't want to have to shut down again because they feel that that would be the nail in the coffin for them. You know, one of the things that we got to keep in mind, Kyle, is that the surveying that has been done of customers, I mean, this is one of the situations the customers are going to come back when they come back. And more than likely, at least from the polling that I've seen and the surveys that have been shared, many people are going to be hesitant in going into public areas where there's a lot of other people congesting and just going to kind of wait and see how this kind of plays out. So even though we, quote unquote, flip on the light for the on the open for business cell sign, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be rushing back into those businesses immediately. So this is why I think it's also very important that we do it in a methodical way, because if we have a, quote unquote, false start and we have a turn in our numbers and we start seeing the infection starting to spread, I think individual consumers are going to be much, much more reluctant in coming out even in the future.
And we've seen a number of places that are doing takeout, and I suspect, following what you said, that some folks may stick with that model and be able to patronize these places but take the food and go home.
Yeah, and that's true. And it's one of those situations that I know for myself, I'm very social, like to get out, like to see people, be in the community, and kind of just the energy that you have at a lot of places that you can go and socialize. But at the same time, I think many people are very concerned, and they're getting, and you know, they've got the word here for the most part in Oregon as to the issues that we're faced with and the seriousness of it. And they're more reluctant to just say, oh, well, that's past. We don't have to worry about it, as compared to, you know, kind of slowly getting into the water and not just plunging right in.
Hospitals and other medical care slowly ramping back up officially today, but what we're seeing, like with Mercy Medical here and some of the individual medical offices, for most cases, appears to be on Monday. And we talked with folks from Mercy yesterday about all the things going on behind the scenes to be ready for that. A lot of people have been waiting for what are called elective surgeries, but that doesn't mean it's something like a cosmetic surgery. It's oftentimes something that is very much needed. It's just not an emergency, so at least that sector is able to slowly ramp back up as well.
That's very true. I mean, we actually have some friends who actually have gone through this process where their surgeries were, in fact, put off. One of them just had surgery this last week based on the need for him to get it. It was a heart procedure. And, you know, you got some individuals that have had a diagnosis of cancer that need to have an operation, surgery for removal, and they were placed on hold. So I think you are going to see some of these individuals getting able to get in and get the services they need. And it's very unfortunate they couldn't have been done sooner. But with all of the unfortunate, let's say, lack of preparedness as a country and having all the PPE that we needed available, as well as all of the other safeguards, you know, these things had to happen. And so fortunately, we're going to start getting people back to a norm that can, in fact, receive the medical attention and services they need.
What about the employment department? A lot of rocks have been thrown their way. Do you feel like they have gotten to where they're making some progress on all the folks who have tried to apply for unemployment but have not yet been able to?
Yes, I would say, based on what we are dealing with as to this being a pandemic and the unemployment, it is amazing for me that we've been able to get to the level that we have, knowing how arcane our computer system is, as well as just the shortness of number of skilled individuals to be able to field and help individuals. The newsletter that we just sent out this morning has a very long perspective on the employment department. We have a Q&A section where we actually ask questions of the department of employment department, and they responded, and that's very detailed. So a lot of individuals are looking at that. The other thing is, I'm going to call it good news. Yesterday, for those who are independent contractors, self-employed, gig workers, they are now accepting applications and for unemployment at the Department of at the Employment Department. Excuse me. So that's another step forward. I'm not sure exactly, Carl, how many new hires and transfers, but I believe there's 300 or 400 new individuals that have come in to this process to help try to alleviate the backlog. We have a backlog. It's going to be addressed. Unfortunately, it's not going to be as quickly as everything's done by tomorrow. But they have given us, through this Q&A, a prioritization of how they're going to tackle this, these backlogs, and get us back up to where we can have a much quicker response. That basically now I understand it's close to a week or 10 days for responses, and we're trying to get it back down to 3 to 5 days.
And I know in the release we got yesterday from the Employment Department, they have folks, not necessarily individuals working 7 days a week, but they've got staff that are there every day of the week trying to get this caught up.
That's very true. And it's unprecedented, just the number of sheer volume of claims that have been filed, you know, rightfully so. But you don't have state government running with a labor force to address any type of quote unquote pandemic when it occurs. This is a situation that has to have an opportunity to get people in place to actually respond to the needs of the constituents. And I have been overall happy with how they've been able to move enough people in to actually start making a significant decrease in the number of backlog cases or filings.
As we wrap up here in a second, have you heard any more about the potential for a special session?
Last I've heard is it's going to be after the forecast. I don't think it's going to be in the month of May as much as I'd like for it to be, so it's probably going to be the first part of June.
All right, State Senator Floyd Prezanski, thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thank you very much. Be well.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.